Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the sister of a woman who died in Letterkenny University Hospital is calling for the publication of protocols and timelines for the review of gynaecological clinical services at the hospital, which gets underway this month. It's been claimed that the funding issue for the Finharp Stadium project is being used as a political football. A man has been arrested in Strabane today under the Terrorism Act as part of a cross-border operation investigating paramilitary-style attacks. And Donegal County Council is to write to the incoming government calling for a review of the electoral registration system. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the Taoiseach has delivered a warning on Brexit amid claims from the opposition that he's running Operation Fear. Leo Varadkar met the EU chief Brexit negotiator Michel Barnier this morning, just days ahead of the UK's exit from the EU. Barnier said he would work with whatever government was in place after the election during upcoming trade talks. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has said a good Brexit deal is needed if any election promises are to be believed.
And that's only possible if we keep the economy strong. And to do that, we have to have a good trade deal post-Brexit. So the issues that have dominated this election are actually very much interlinked, because only a strong economy and only a favourable Brexit for Ireland will allow us to do all of the things in healthcare, housing, childcare that we all know are necessary.
The sister of a woman who died in Letterkenny University Hospital is calling for the publication of protocols and timelines for the review of gynaecological clinical services at the hospital, which gets underway this month. Bristol-based consultant Dr. Margaret McMahon, a Letterkenny native, has called for a review of the diagnosis and treatment of gynaecological cancers at the hospital. It follows the death of her sister Carol of cancer of the womb. Dr. McMahon says it was missed when her sister complained of pains in 2010 and was only diagnosed in 2012. Dr. McMahon says her main concern is she doesn't know how long the review will take or what procedures will be used by the review team.
We have no timeline. I've tried to find out. Journalists have tried to find out. We all want to know the methods. Are staff going to be spoken to? Are they going to invite patients in? And it's very hard for me or anybody to take those results seriously, or any recommendations, until we know how they've gone about it, like any study, really.
You've said, at the very least, you would expect a protocol to be published and a clear timeline given as to how this review is going to operate.
Yes, absolutely. It's public interest, it's state funding, it was approved by the ARCTIS.
You have also sought assurances that other cases which have been highlighted in local newspapers and highlighted in local reports are also included in this review. As of yet, it's not been made clear exactly what cases are and exactly what cases aren't being looked at.
To be honest, in any clinical review, you don't have to expose patient identification. That would be confidential at the moment, but I do think that they should announce a procedure or how they're going about it. There are other women with concerns. They've been contacting me at the weekend. They want to know they're going to be listened to, because there is an issue locally.
Do you expect to be called to make a contribution to this review?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Like, they may or may not be interested. It's up to them. They know that I've been, you know, that I was aware of concerns for years. I've put it in writing to the minister. It's a long-running story. I just want your listeners to be aware it's going on and to come forward if they have information that could help the reviewers.
Intu is applying for an injunction at the High Court relating to its exclusion from a party leader's television debate on RTE. The party's leader, Pádraig O'Bean, says it makes no sense to exclude one of the eight parties with dual representation from the debate. It's due to take place in the National Broadcaster later tonight with seven leaders. Donegal candidate Mary T. Sweeney says the voters of Donegal are being denied a proper leader's debate.
The people of Donegal and all the people of Ireland that are voting for Aintree are being frozen out here. It's a disgrace. Aintree received a higher vote than the Social Democrats and People Before Profit in the recent by-elections, and we received a higher vote than People Before Profit in the local elections. And we're only one TD behind the Social Democrats in dying numbers, and that'll be changed after this election. We really do believe that this is anti-democratic, and that people need to support Aintree across party in the right to democracy. and representation.
From the point of view of your own campaign, do you believe that Aonthu is gaining traction in Donegal?
Without doubt, Donal, I am having tremendous success with people around the county. They're completely disillusioned with mainstream politics, and there are many, many stories out there of neglect from the people of Inishowen and the Mart that has the children that are special needs children being neglected, 17 months on a waiting list. The same story in West Donegal the last night of the meeting. It's similar stories across the county of the neglect and forgetting Donegal even exists by Dublin and the services that we need.
A man has been arrested in Strabane today under the Terrorism Act as part of a cross-border operation investigating paramilitary-style attacks. Detectives from the PS9's Terrorism Investigation Unit conducted a number of searches in the town this morning. The 32-year-old man is currently being held in Musgrave Serious Crime Suite. Gardaí have also arrested a man as part of the operation. It's been claimed that the funding issue for the Finnharp Stadium project is being used as a political football. The funding fiasco for the project is under the spotlight at the latest sitting of Donegal County Council, with two motions and an emergency motion brought forward for consideration. More clarity is being sought from a national level as to why the money allocated for the project was subsequently not granted. The 6.7 million euro project is now said to be in limbo. However, the funding application is still live. General election candidate and councillor John O'Donnell says the government must step up to the plate and the council must pressurise them into doing so.
I've brought a motion here today calling on the council to write a letter to the department to put pressure on them to make sure and allocate the much needed funding to the Finnharp Stadium in Ballybuffet. I know that for Finnharp's there, they've already started works on site from the previous government 2007-2008 have allocated 1.2 million to that particular project. So it's vital now for the county, because it's somewhere in the whole county uses these facilities, that we get the much needed funding to make sure the project is delivered and finished as soon as possible.
What about comments here today from the likes of Councillor Patrick McGowan and so on, that it's the funding issue is being used as a political football at the minute?
Yeah, Patrick, I think, to be fair, 100% right in what he's saying in relation to the funding issue, because the government here has failed very, very badly to deliver for Donegal and for Finnharps. Finnharps should have been allocated funding on the last tranche of funding, and that's the reason that I'm asking the council to row in behind them. Finnharps now get a letter to the department and make a plea to let the people know, let the department know how important it is to get this project delivered for the county.
And the council have done so much work already. It really is, the buck ultimately stops with those at a national level.
Yeah, of course, it's the government and it's the department that calls the shots and allocates the funding. The council, as Councillor McGowan there, has been very good to second my motion. The council has done an awful lot of work with Finnharps in the past and assisting them with the land acquisitions and trade-offs and different things. So, and the previous governments before have committed 1.2 million to this project and it has started. So I think it's vital, and it's a complete failure of this government so far now that they didn't allocate the money that was needed to make sure this project's complete.
One of the motions was moved by Donegal Councillor and Fine Gael election candidate Martin Harley, who called for the council to become an active partner in the process. He believes that with the council working with the Department of Transport, Tourism and Sport and the FAI, the project would be better placed to secure funding.
We're very positive a few weeks ago regarding the 6.7 million coming down in the capital projects that were national projects, and unfortunately the money didn't come through at the time. There were different issues raised by the department at the time. Some of them seem to have been clarified now. What I've asked now is that Donegal County Council become a partner in the project. The fact that the lands that the stadium is going on is County Council land, and it's part of the overall project for that area in Stranorlar. When I looked at all the projects that were allocated money during the last tranche of funding, a lot of them were coming through County Councils nationally. So I felt that this would be a stronger case for the Harps project.
There were claims over the past week or so that the current government failed the club and the progress of the stadium.
Well, I feel that 3 years ago there was 342,000 to progress the project at the time. That would leave it in the position for this funding to come down, and what they issued at the time then was that the department would fund the pitch itself and fund two of the stands, and then the rest of the works to be done then would be worked into the future on some other proposals. So I don't feel they have let them down. As I said, lining up all the ducks, that everything is in order, and that's, I think it's important that we get that. The council on board, I feel that would leave it in a very strong position. On a personal level, rather than the election, I've been supporting Finnharps over the last 30 years, and my heart's in the club, and I want to get this project over the line more than anyone.
The head of the Catholic Church in Ireland has hailed Seamus Mullen for the central role he played in the peace process. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and Taoiseach Simon Coveney were among hundreds of mourners who attended his funeral mass in Mullabrack, County Armagh this afternoon. One of the architects of the Good Friday Agreement, he served alongside First Minister David Trimble in the Stormont Executive from 1998 to 2001. Archbishop Eamon Marsham paid tribute to the former deputy leader of the SDLP.
Seamus spoke with the authority and vision that come from having lived through the worst of our troubles, and yet personally played a central role in the landmark events of our peace process.
Donegal County Council is to write to the incoming government calling for a review to the electoral registration system. It follows concern from a number of people locally that they were disenfranchised during elections. Councillor Jack Murray says the issue always raises a head on the cusp of an election but is quickly forgotten. He's calling for a complete overhaul of the current format.
It's a serious problem. Every time there's an election called, there's kind of a frantic panic for people to get registered, people who were unsure if they're registered or not. And when you think that the National Youth Council of Ireland has estimated up to 150,000 young people are unable to vote. It's a very, very serious problem, and the whole system is very archaic. So we'll be asking the council to write to the incoming government to review this system, entirely overhaul this entire system, and allow people to register online, maybe use their PPS number, which is obviously that information's there, their date of birth and their address. So just make it much, much easier for people to register and vote.
It obviously now is an issue because we're on the cusp of an election, but I suppose when time lapses, it's very quick to forget about these issues again. Obviously, it's something that you'll be keeping the pressure on until it does get sorted.
Yeah, and I'd be contacting particularly young people in the mouth of an election, last they're registered and maybe are too late, or they've the system of having to go to find a guard to stamp it, then go back in, and they're too late by then. When those people should be registered long ago. The Department of Education, I think, should engage with the schools, 17-year-olds, and get them registered in advance of turning 18 so that they can vote and this panic doesn't happen.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Make your Shop LK gift card go further with an extra 20% off in store.
It's almost 14 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with cross-channel soccer. Leicester City manager Brendan Rodgers believes Jurgen Klopp is well within his rights to field the youth side in Liverpool's FA Cup first-round replay against Shrewsbury. The German has said that neither he nor his first-team stars will be present for the tie, which is set to take place during the first week of the Premier League's winter break. Rodgers says Klopp will make a decision that's in the best interest of his squad.
The loading that's put on players over the December, the Christmas period, this week was designed for the players to have and to go away and recover a little bit. So to then organise the replays in that was ridiculous. So Jurgen's within his rights to pick whatever team he wants to pick.
Arsenal look to end a run of three straight draws when they return to FA Cup action this evening. The 13-time winners are at fellow top-flight side Bournemouth in the fourth round, with the last victory coming in the previous stage of the competition. Before that, the fifth round draw will take place. Before that game tonight, as some of the big sides will find out who they'll be playing in the next stage of the competition. Jonathan Avolabi is the latest Republic of Ireland underage international to make a move this month. The striker's left Celtic for Scottish Championship side Dunfermline Athletic until the end of the season. He still has 2.5 years remaining on his Celtic deal. One game tonight in the Premiership of the Irish League. It's a big one as well. The two sides sitting joint fourth in the table will clash as Coleraine host Cliftonville. Whoever wins that game tonight will move ahead of Glentoran in third in the table. They currently sit 5 points adrift of the leaders, Crusaders. To rugby, two Ulster players and four Irish internationals have been included on the long list of the 2019-20 European Player of the Year Award. The 20-man list of nominees will be shortened in early May to five before the winner of the Anthony Foley Memorial Trophy is announced after the final in Marseille. Ulster's John Cooney is included. He scored 5 tries in 6 games, as well as winning man of the match on 2 occasions. His provincial teammates, Ulster number 8, Marcel Sudez, is also there. The other 3 Irishmen are joint top try scorer Gary Ringrose, who scored 2 hat-tricks during the pool stage. His teammates Jordan Larmour and Tadhg Furlong are also make the list. In tennis, Rafael Nadal has set up an Australian Open quarter-final with the 5th seed Dominic Thiem. The top seed beat home favourite Nick Kyrgios in 4 sets earlier. Thiem saw off Guillaume Humphries in straight sets to progress. 2016 women's champion. Angelique Kerber is out, beaten in three sets against a Russian opponent today, Anastasia Vavchenko. The Russian will face two-time Grand Slam winner Garbiñe Muguruza in the last eight in Melbourne. And in darts, it was a good weekend for Donegal teams at the West Coast Challenge. The men's A team won the overall competition, while the county's B side won the Shield. The youths lost out in the final, and the ladies were also runners-up. The event was used as preparations for the All-Irelands, which will be held in Ennis this coming weekend. Next Sport in Highland is tomorrow morning after the 8 News with Dermot.
Thanks, Oisin. I'm returning to some news. The Fianna Fáil candidate in Donegal says his party and government will immediately publish a fully funded Mica redress scheme and end what he termed a string of broken promises which has characterised the current government's approach. Charlie McConlogue says there's a commitment in the Fine Gael manifesto to publish the scheme next Friday, but he wants to see a clear indication that this will happen.
Unfortunately, the only time we've really seen progress in relation to it has been at election time. At the last local elections, there was a commitment given just in the run-up to polling day. And likewise now, see, in the Fine Gael manifesto, they're indicating the scheme may be published on the 31st of January. I hope that's not another broken promise. But if it is published, that will be welcome. I'll bet very cynical from Fine Gael that they are using an election time to actually publish it. The reality is promises have been broken over and over again on this over the last number of years. The commitments were given that this would be published by the government department and by the government last year, and that didn't happen. While it will be welcome, and I hope it does happen before Election Day, I think people will know that, unfortunately, this government haven't spent one penny in relation to fixing homes across the county.
Your manifesto also includes the phrase fully funded. Does that suggest that Fianna Fáil is committed to scrapping the 10% requirement?
Well, it looks like the scheme is going to be published this week, and there's been a lot of engagement between the government and the departments and the MICA action group. So that has framed what the scheme may look like. We will have to work with the scheme and assess what scheme will be published. But our key commitment is that it will be fully funded in terms of actually backing that scheme and ensuring that the funding is there for every home to be fixed, and indeed that actually starts immediately.
There are calls for a massive tree planting initiative to be rolled out across Donegal. The project is part of a national Green Party initiative which would help tackle biodiversity loss and carbon dioxide emissions in encouraging 120,000 farmers across the country to plant a 1 hectare of woodland each. Michael White, chair of the Donegal Green Party and general election candidate, says while reducing CO2 emissions, the planting of the trees would also mitigate against the loss of wildlife.
Nationally, the Green Party has announced that it wants to roll out tree planting programmes to 120,000 farmers across the country, encouraging them to plant 1 hectare of woodland each. And we're applying that to Donegal, and so we're trying to launch an initiative where about 4,000 farmers, as part of that scheme, would be encouraged to plant woodland. It's based around the Green Party's national biodiversity plans, so the idea is that, well, there's two things it would solve. The Green Party obviously is worried about carbon dioxide emissions because that drives global warming. And the second thing is the concern about loss of biodiversity. So basically, there's been a big reduction in animal species and insect species and bird life. So rolling out this plan, the idea is that we plant an unbroken band of trees from one end of the county to another with the cooperation and coordination of farmers, private companies and public bodies. And that would lead to a number of things. It would reduce the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, but it would also increase biodiversity. Increase the amount of wildlife across the county.
And indeed, Donegal is an excellent example of this initiative if it were to be carried out, because there's such a vast area for this to take place.
Yeah, I mean, there's been tree planting in Donegal before, but it tends to concentrate on what's called Sitka spruce or Sitka pine. They're a non-native wood species, and they tend to create these sort of dead zones, these forests that don't really support much wildlife. So what we're working on is a plan to convert those, to focus more on natural deciduous trees, which then encourage a lot of wildlife and also have the side benefit then of extracting carbon dioxide.
And finally, there are concerns of increased fees at cash machines because of banks selling their ATMs. Bank of Ireland is selling off a network of 700 machines, while AIB is seeking bids for 375 of its cash machines. Consumer groups say companies which own ATMs independently of banks are likely to impose charges and fees for using them. Charlie Weston from the Irish Independent says the traditional ways of banking are fading away.
People are very much moving away from cash. You can now use your phone, you can tap your phone. people are less inclined to use cash. The danger there is you don't feel you're spending so much. It's too easy to spend. You can't keep as good a mental record of it when you're just tapping. But inevitably, that is the way we're moving, I'm afraid.
Weather now staying cold for the rest of the day with further wintry showers and the risk of hail and thunder in moderate to fresh and gusty west to southwest winds. There are likely to be some falls of snow, mainly in higher ground, with accumulations likely. Lowest temperatures tonight of -2 to +1 degree with a sharp frost. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the Taoiseach has delivered a warning on Brexit amid claims from the opposition that he's running Operation Fear. Leo Varadkar met the EU chief Brexit negotiator Michel Barnier this morning, just days ahead of the UK's exit from the EU. Bristol-based consultant Dr. Margaret McMahon, the sister of a woman who died in Letterkenny University Hospital, is calling for the publication of protocols and timelines for the review of gynaecological clinical services at the hospital, which gets underway this month. A man has been arrested in Strabane today under the Terrorism Act as part of a cross-border operation investigating paramilitary-style attacks. Gardaí have also arrested a man as part of the operation. And it's been claimed that the funding issue for the Finnharp Stadium project is being used as a political football. The funding fiasco for the project is under the spotlight at the latest sitting of Donegal County Council, with two motions and an emergency motion brought forward for consideration. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, January the 27th. The death has taken place of Eileen O'Reilly, née Diver, 45 Bridge Street, Strabane, reposing at her home this evening from 7 o'clock. Fiona leaving her home on Wednesday morning at 20 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Diabetes Association, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Mary Jane McCullough, née McKelvey, 1A Orr Park, Newton Stewart. Mary Jane's remains will repose at her late home tomorrow morning from 11 o'clock. Funeral from her late home on Thursday morning at 20 past 10 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Eugene's Church, Glenoch. Interment afterwards in Glenoch Cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Arthur Rolston, Cormac Campbell, Carrigans. Arthur's remains are reposing at his residence this evening from 6 o'clock and tomorrow from 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. Funeral from there on Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock for service in Monray Presbyterian Church at 1:30, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. No flowers, please. Donations, if desired, to Monray Church Hall, care of Gibson Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Eileen McLaughlin, Mason, Urbalera, Malinhead. Eileen's remains are reposing at her home in Urbalera. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:15 to St Mary's Church, Langmallin, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Nazareth House Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member, or Pat Kelly, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Francie O'Brien, Drumirda, Letterkenny. Francie's remains will repose at his late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock in St Columba's Church, Drumahl, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral with rosary at 9 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to St Columba's Church, Drumahl Restoration Fund, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Mona Dehan, née Lavery, 13 Marion Park, Buncrana. Removal from McLaughlin's funeral home, Buncrana, this evening at 5:30 to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass tomorrow with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Buncrana Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Pat Dan Gallagher, 70 Ballymongan Road, Castle Derg. Pat's remains are reposing at his late home. Funeral from his late home tomorrow morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Ahiarn. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has taken place of Sadie Sarah Hegarty, née O'Donnell, 15 Ard Columbkill, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, going to St Junan's Church Rafoe for 12 noon Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, family time from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has occurred of Joseph Sizakto, 5 Hazelbrook Crescent, Letterkenny, formerly Poland. Joseph's remains will repose at his home tomorrow morning from 10:30 until removal at 22:02, going to St Junan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 2:30, interment afterwards in Newlex Cemetery. Family flowers only, please, donations if wished, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has taken place of Niamh McLaughlin, née Dunn, Glencar Road, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her parents John and Nora Dunn's home at 8 Ashley Close, College Farm Road, Letterkenny. Requiem Mass in St Junan's Cathedral tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, followed by burial in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, from 9 o'clock tonight. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu of flowers to the Donegal Hospice, care of Charlie McLaugherty, funeral director. And the death has occurred of PJ McDade, Clonwiley, Dunlow, formerly of Glenswilly and London. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Cronus Church, Dunlow, with interment afterwards in the new cemetery in Letchermack Ward. Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. House private on the morning of the funeral.